Welcome to the Geek Together Podcast.
My reign has just begun.
I can't blame him for trying. I mean, everybody wants to be Batman.
Where we'll discuss Comic-Con collectibles, pop culture, all hot trash releases, and more.
Prepare to launch.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Geek Together. Saturday night, we get to go live and hang out with all of you. Nice to see a lot of you show up. Christina was unable to make it today due to, one, she's got a heavy workload, and two, our daughter is not letting anything happen today. She's not having it. But let's get this started. My name's Damien, and with me...
Robbie.
And Clint.
We have a special guest with us, custom toy designer, artist, Clav. Welcome.
How's it going, guys?
Thanks for joining us. I know you guys, we were just talking before the show started, and you have a lot of things you should probably be working on, so I really appreciate the hour you're taking with us, for sure. So... those of you in the audience that don't know Clav's work, he's been working, he's got a ton. All you have to do is go check out his Instagram, which is Clav9 on Instagram, but that's correct.
Yeah.
Ton of stuff up there. I was just scrolling through it yesterday a little bit. Just a lot of amazing pieces you have up there and just more and more coming. Toward the end of the show, we're going to show off a lot of one of the most recent things you worked on, which is the Abominable Toys Chomps with Smy, with SmyCon 2020 over there with Jonathan, that guy's. And I know those are dropping tomorrow, I want to say. Yep. Tomorrow night. Yep, I believe so. Those of you that are interested in SmyCon, there are a lot of stuff dropping tomorrow night there. I think 9 Eastern. I think I have the time right. Or 8 Eastern.
I think it's 9.
So I think it's 9. I think I had it right the first time. I get my times mixed up and Jonathan will correct me, I'm sure.
My con's at 8 p.m. Eastern tomorrow.
8 p.m. So. Okay. 8 p.m. Eastern. Fantastic. A lot of cool stuff dropping there. And you have, what is it, 9?
No,
eight chomps.
Yep.
That you did. That are all, I think they're going to be going out blind box style. So every time whoever buys them, they get one randomly. Anyway, yep. We'll show those off later. All right, well, let's just jump into it. Clav, we know you've been doing a lot of designer toys and you've developed a certain style. How did you get into art in the first place?
When I was a kid, I always was like drawing and doing stuff. But as you can see behind me, there's a ton of skateboards. I'm like mid 40s. And so I grew up in like the 80s when skateboarding was like the height of skateboarding. And you know, you'd go to the skate shop and there'd just be like 50 decks, and they were
That's where everybody hung out. So I'm saying I just turned 44.
Yeah.
So yeah, I remember those days. And like, the skate shop is where you hang out back then.
Yeah. And like Jim Phillips, who drew for Santa Cruz, and like just started to get into it, and like the bright colors and like the great, you know, just that, just as being like a teen, like preteen teenager, and seeing like some cool stuff. And then I ended up going to art school. I studied sculpture, which was kind of, you know, couldn't get a job when I got out of school. But I did that, you know, it just sort of followed, like it was just always part of my life. And after like going through my 20s and being unsuccessful as an artist, trying to do paintings and prints, and I just sort of bounced around, and I got into scale modeling. And from there, I kind of found like really what I was interested in. You know, I started with like Gundams, and then moved into Machine and Krieger. Which is like a 80s Japanese modeling, and it's like not really anime, but could be. It was like based on World War II tanks and Star Wars stuff. Just sort of like just kept getting like deeper and deeper. So
Yeah, so we got into the scale modeling. What type of models? Like, what were the main things you were creating in that world that you're getting obsessed with?
Well, it's Machining Krieger is a it's like the designs of a Japanese modeler, Ko Yokoyama.
Okay.
And he did stuff for Hobby Japan in the 80s, where every month he had to produce some stuff, and they slowly got made into kits. And then in the early 2000s, I started just buying those kits like crazy, and like just building and building. It's kind of where I honed my skills, where I learned how to like rust and weather and chip. And I learned to hand paint, and I learned all the Japanese, how to use Japanese paints. I slowly started messing around. Like, we got a 3D printer at work, mm-hmm. and I started like printing out skulls, and I, you know, like big plastic skulls.
Okay.
And I would sort of throw those on different models, and they were really successful, and eventually just swapped out of models altogether and jumped into toys. So I didn't have to. I didn't have to put anything together.
Well, that's true. It's all put together for you. But I would imagine that the attention to detail and the models and stuff you're doing really benefits you a lot going into the toys. I mean, when you look at the stuff you've done, the detail, the weather, I know it's rusting and weathering and beating them up and all that, but not in a way that just looks beat up. It's very purposeful and very detailed.
Yeah. So I ended up meeting and becoming friends with Ko, and for years now, maybe like 9 years, almost 9 years. And conversations talk, about texture and effect and, you know, the brush strokes and layering really developed as sort of like trying to come up with more than just painting a color on it. I always try to invoke a feeling, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Sure. Now going from that to toys, what would be the first toy you worked on? Do you remember?
I don't. it's funny is, I sort of skirted around, when Dunny's mm-hmm. robot blossomed, I'm like an hour out of New York City. So it was, I had access to all sorts of stuff. And I remember as it was starting to get big, and I actually remember like going to, a store in the Lower East Side that had like Kaws toys, like hand painted Kaws stuff.
Oh wow.
For like $300, and being like, well, that's really expensive.
it's really expensive.
Yeah.
cheap now.
You know. I would probably buy a house with one of those toys.
Yeah, if you would have bought those for $300 right now, you'd be a bunch of those.
Yeah, you'd be living life right now.
so I like dabbled, like I think I like maybe painted a Dunny or like a Money or a Dunny back and forth. And then, but really, in 2017, that was like kind of when I made the jump to toys. And, the real first toy that I bought and worked on was a Huck G, one of the resin guys that he made, the Huck G blanks.
Okay.
But it was like the 4-inch one. That was kind of the first, that was the first toy. And then instantly, like just like I did with the scale models, before I finished the first one, I was buying more.
Right. Of course.
The funny thing is I modified it like instantly. I was like, oh, it's resin. I've worked with resin before, and I have like thousands and thousands of model kits that I cut up and use for parts. And I ended up adding a bunch of stuff onto the blank. And then that I worked that first year, I did like a lot of Huck G's, and one of them actually got nominated for Custom of the Year for the Designer Toy Awards.
Oh, wow.
Following year. And that was like, I went from like literally like not painting any toys to like maybe the fifth or sixth toy that I worked on got nominated.
That's awesome.
Wow.
So, and then Huck G quit. and there were no more blanks. So I sort of moved on, and obviously now he's with Super Plastic. So
yeah, I mean, so many people have a similar that are either toy designers or toy artists or customizers, starting with Huck G, starting with Kid Robot, Dunny's Bunny, whatever it is.
Yep.
And that was the platform. I think everybody, we had Sket one on here, same thing. That's what he started with. Like, he just did a couple Dunnies, people got to know it. And, you know, fast forward now, and it's just that platform launched so many things. And then nowadays, you look out there, so you got nominated for the Toy Designer or Custom Toy of the Year. Is that what it was?
I think it was the crowd, I was nominated by the public.
Okay, like the viewer's choice.
But I was a finalist. So
that's
like
pretty.
It's impressive.
But that's
the 6-1 you said, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Very cool.
Those were cool. Like, and occasionally people will like send me a photo of it and be like, "Can you redo this?" Like, sure, I can. But you know, the question is like, "Oh, do you have a blank?"
That's true. That's the part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, you have so much work that you're doing on your own now. I mean, do you do, besides the stuff you're doing for shows all over the place, at, you know, different requests, I'm sure. I mean, are you doing commission stuff?
Yeah, my commission list is like really long. it's like almost nightmare length.
Yeah.
Nightmare length.
And if you include like the designer, so I work with a lot of, toys like Sofubi designers from Hong Kong and China and Taiwan, and I get boxes of toys in the mail, or bags of toys. Like,
oh, sink? Is that a sink?
15 toys. And so I throw those into my list. So I have like a long spreadsheet, and it just keeps adding, and then I remove things as I go. But I'm like, I'm close to 100 at this point deep. If any of the people on that list, you know, I always tell them like I'm 6 to 8 weeks out. I'm finishing almost a toy a day. Like in October, I'm going to finish 40 toys.
Oof, so, wow.
And this year, like because of COVID and like being at home for so long, like the level of work that I've banged out this year is like, it's ridiculous.
Well, yeah,
like,
you're popping up everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm probably going to be close to 400 toys by December.
Ooh, wow. So, that's impressive. That's a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, which is funny. So with models, I think I made 20. The most I ever made was like 20 in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it would take me like weeks to paint. And I use all sorts of different paints and oil paints. And I would always wait, you know, you have to wait days for oil paint to dry. Mm-hmm. And I never realized like, you know, how much time I was wasting. So I started, so I would start doing two at a time. And then that changed to 5 at a time. And then now it's just like bags of IKEA toys, like big giant blue bags, and like different stages, and we move them around, and it's gotten out of hand.
But you had a lot of shows in Asia.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just reading about the Play Toys Forever.
Yeah, that show. That show was in August in Taiwan. I couldn't go, obviously. But they had the show. Linus, who runs the store / gallery, I met him at DCon last year.
Mm-hmm.
I had actually painted a couple of Momoko, the shark lord.
Yes.
But
the 200 scale, like the 200%. So they're like, I don't know, 14 inches tall.
Right.
And they were, some of them were damaged in shipment. And so they contacted me to paint them for their booth. And then I delivered the work. And then like an hour later, Linus came over and offered me a show.
Nice.
So, it was great. It was great. You know, super nice. They sent me 50, like, I think we did 54 toys.
So they had a little bit of everything there. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he picked toys based on what was popular in Taiwan. And it was nice not having to buy any of them. So they sent me the blanks and then painted them and sent them back. And I think all but like four sold. So it's like, it was like a fairly successful show. And then that was in August. In September, I had a solo show at a gallery that I actually just opened. Mm-hmm. In the town we live in, there were a bunch of open storefronts. So my wife and I opened a gallery. It's not solely toys, but we opened with my stuff because we figured that if the schedule got messed up and we couldn't figure out like online sales or anything, it would be better mm-hmm. if I took the hit. And I did 25 customs in 3 weeks, and including like 1,000% bear brick.
That's a big
which
one.
which is like a human.
Right, I was gonna say those are small.
Yeah,
those are pretty big. Yeah,
and so I kind of picked the. I joked around that it was like the who's who of 2019 toys, and it was like, you know, there was a cause, a course, like a Astro Lab from 3A and Mutant Vinyl Hardcore and just a little bit of everything, knowing that like, all right, I need some, like, let's make some money back from opening the gallery. And 24 of the 25 sold. So
that's pretty good.
I won't say which one didn't sell, but
if all of you listening, the gallery he opened is the Moyo Gallery.
Yeah, Moyo.
Yep. Moyo Gallery and moyogallery.com if you want to check it out.
Yeah. And also on Instagram, same thing on Instagram. So the gallery, it's like a, we're going to probably try to do like a toy show every three months or so.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I guess I can talk about it now. I didn't really think about it. The next big toy show will be a Sank custom show
in
end of January. That will be up for 5 weeks. So I painted stuff for Sank before, and I reached out to him, and he was super excited. And I'm still working out the details on who's going to be in the show, but I have a garage full of Sank toys right now.
Okay, so it's going to be a sort of a collaboration show where you're going to send out the toys. Yeah. Okay.
So I think we're looking at like 60 toys.
Okay. So, awesome.
That should be a good, and STS is coming up, Shanghai Toy Show. Mm-hmm. And everybody in Asia is sort of scrambling right now for that. So we haven't quite figured out if it's going to be like 20 artists doing 3 toys or 30 artists doing 2 toys or something, something like that. But it should be like a wide range, and Sank, they want a wide variety. And he was talking to me about possibly getting some fine artists, non-toy artists, to paint some of the toys.
That'd be interesting.
And have paintings from the artists. So like, you know, bad example, but it would be like, you know, a landscape, you know, and then have that person paint a toy, you know.
Yeah. That's a pretty cool idea. Yeah.
So we'll see. So yeah, it's kind of all over, you know, but, and then I found out, the other day that a similar show to like the one in Taiwan, in late February, I'll be having a show in Hong Kong.
Okay.
Which I will not be able to attend either.
Are these shows, I mean, I know that they're doing the galleries. Are they actually physically, I haven't really paid attention.
Yeah.
To them. Are they physically having the event still? Are they out there?
Yeah.
Everything opened up?
Wow. Really?
For the most part, like people are still wearing masks, mm-hmm. and, you can sort of like, you can see, like, I know Play Toys Forever had a show opening today, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a line, like, you know, 100 people deep, it looked like.
Oh, wow.
Like, and, you know, like it is here, people are wearing masks and, you know, everybody's sort of staying apart, but I think they have a better handle on it than we do.
Well, I think they have shown that for sure. And I know, like, for instance, just upstate New York, Clutter's still having their shows every other week or once a month.
Yeah, they're second Saturday.
Second Saturday, so, that's what it is, yeah.
Yeah, I've gone, I live like an hour from there.
Okay. So,
oh, nice.
So I try to go to all shows that I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense.
But it's starting to get, you know.
Yeah.
When you're in, I'm in a show, like I literally have like, it feels like I'm in a show every week. So it gets to be a lot to like even remember Instagram. Like, wait, what's coming out today? Where, you know, where's this going? So,
well, in years prior with the shows like Taiwan and now in Hong Kong, would you have gone out? I mean, it's all your show.
Yeah.
So you would have gone out to those, right?
Yeah, I would have gone. I had actually was talking to the organizers for Hong Kong, and I was like, listen, like, unless there's like a miracle vaccine and like, you know, we're allowed to travel, it doesn't look, you know, I mean, that's only like, it's really only like 3 months away or 4 months away. But yeah, I would have gone, last year, 2019, I went to, the Thailand Toy Expo, and which is always the first week in May. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was my first, I've been to Japan. I was in a custom shop in toy. And over to Tokyo Con in 2018, and cool, but it wasn't like a specific toy show. It was more like Comic Con in New York, you know.
Okay. So
there was it was more based on like movie. There was like a lot of movie stuff and a lot of like comic book stuff, which is cool. I love that stuff, but it wasn't like all toys. And going to Thailand, and it was just like all toys and all the artists, and I met so many people, so that kind of set the standard of what the future was going to be.
That sounds amazing.
And I was so, COVID is sort of messed up, but we were supposed to go back to Thailand this year. I would have gone to Taiwan. And then I probably would have ended up going back to Taiwan in October for, Taiwan Toy Festival. I need all this to be over.
I think we're all the same way. I mean, we would have, we had so many exciting things to go to this year. There was going to be a big show in the Philippines that Quix and Bib Toy were going to do together.
Yep.
We were scheduled to go to that. Guess what? Can't go. Even New York Comic Con couldn't go.
Yep.
Designer Con can't go. No 5 points this year. No, not. I mean, it's just, and again, we say this all the time. We are complaining. We're bitching about it. We understand why. It doesn't mean there isn't bigger problems in the world than us going to toy shows. Totally get it. But you know what? It's it would be nice just to have normalcy. That's for sure. So do whatever it takes to do that. Sure. So totally agree there on that kind of stuff. So you've been doing the customizing for a long time. What would you say recently? We're touching on this a little bit before we started the show. Has been the biggest change you've seen in recent years in the toy design world?
That's a good question. You told me there won't be any hard questions.
That's how we get you.
He ropes you in that way.
That's how we all got here. Still here.
It's like, how do you like toys? Boom. Who are you voting for? Just like that.
No, we're not going to go there.
It's interesting to see, you know, it's kind of the scale of the toys. It's mm-hmm. it's interesting to see, like, things are getting a lot bigger. I gravitated towards Sofubi, which is soft vinyl. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to use the term Sofubi. Technically means made in Japan,
right?
Soft vinyl versus soft vinyl, like Chinese soft vinyl, which would have been made in China or Hong Kong or Taiwan,
right?
But I'm just going to refer to it as Sofubi. My interest. I tend to be drawn more to that design, and it's the level of detail and like some of the crazy toys that people send me, like the detail. I'm trying to figure this out. So the detail, they're really pushing the limits of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of nice also is to see I love it when people are making hand sculpts versus computer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the computer stuff's cool. And I understand the reason for it. But if you look at any of James Grohman stuff,
mm-hmm.
the level of detail in it is it seems like everybody's trying to figure out how to jam more and more detail in, like how to make it bigger, how to get more detail in it. And then the opposite side, you have super plastic, and you know, I'm holding a janky here.
That's yep, like very simple. Yeah.
Big and simple. So it's, I don't think I answered the question.
No, I think that's right. I mean, there's just been so much out there. I mean, for me, my observation is that it's become so big. I mean, if I just look at the difference between the first time I went to Decon, or even when you look at the, we were talking to Clutter about the beginnings of Five Points Festival and where it is now.
Yeah.
And the Designer Toy Awards and where it is now. And just how many, not only how many designers there are and how many different toys there are, but how many different fans there are. And it's not a crowded space. There's a ton of room for people. I mean, your point, you prefer Sofubi in a certain style. There's tons of that.
Right.
But then if you look at the audience of collectors now, you get like the jankies, the more simplistic, the kid robots, because that's always been their thing.
Right.
As being more of a simple canvas.
Right.
And I agree with you on the different type of art. I think it's fascinating to me. Like you mentioned sculpting. My wife, that's what she does. Like somebody's asked her like, well, can you do a digital sketch? No, I can sculpt you anything you want. Like she's a hand sculpt. Like that's what she does. She's not going to do digital. People will do digital because you need to do that sometimes. But to bring the artists from different backgrounds and formats onto a platform. So it's fascinating about, not to ramble too much, but going back to the sync show you're talking about, that idea of bringing non-traditional, I don't even say traditional artists, they're artists, but they normally haven't worked on toys.
Right.
To bring their style, and what would they do to that sync piece?
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And the audience, I mean, sync's blown up. Like, I mean, that stuff's beautiful.
Yeah.
And then I find myself turning my head I started, most of us, a lot of people in the chat, I met through more the cons and Funko collecting. That's where we met him. Simple little things that were $10, right? Yeah. And but then you get exposed to different stuff. And I would say everybody here, Clint, definitely one of them, is like, well, now we're buying, we're rushing online to get a Chomp Drop or a Domino Drop or Sank. Yep. My wife's getting in things from Singapore like every other day.
Yeah.
You know, from different designers. It's just like all over the place. And it catches up on you. So it's just amazing how it's exploded. And just looking at your Instagram page and everything that you've worked on, it's all over the place. I mean, you've worked on like all different formats.
Yeah. Yeah.
And applied a very, very distinctive style to them.
Yeah. I'm kind of all over the place as far as is what and what I work on it and at any point. You know, what's interesting is trying to, one thing that I actually struggle with is how do you, I default to paint things the way that they're sculpted. Mm-hmm. So if there's, you know, like a Godzilla style monster with a skull head, I'm going to paint it like that. And then, so when I pick up, when I have to paint something that has no detail in the sculpt, it's hard for me to try to make it fit.
Right.
And that's kind of what, like the thing I struggle with most of how to bridge those. So I default to like brush strokes, and I try to focus on technique and less on the sculpt.
Mm-hmm.
And, but that's, yeah. So it's hard to like, try to figure that out, like how to make it fit.
I can see that. Do you have something, Robbie?
That's a good segue into a question from Jay from the audience. He's curious to know if there are some toys out there that you haven't worked on yet that you would like to work on.
Almost every day I see something that I haven't, that I want to paint and that I haven't. Like off the top of my head, I still buy a lot of stuff, and then I forget that I bought it. And then it shows up, and it's like Christmas morning, and I don't know what's in the box.
That's never happened to any of us, by the way.
I literally got
maybe
one.
Maybe not today.
Yeah. I pretty much have access to almost. I think I've painted almost everything. I did paint the. I always wanted to paint a Mutant Vinyl Hardcore piece, and I painted one for my show last month, and that was kind of exciting. Mm-hmm. It was like on tier with like a James Grauman. Like painting a King Corpse was, you know, a big thing to do. They're just, you know, like it was exciting. I painted the 5 points of 2019, the launch of the Megatex.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron from Martian Toys gave me one of the first blanks to paint, and so I got to paint basically besides Squix. I was the first custom. So getting to do stuff like that, that's always exciting. Like when something's new, I guess the answer is anything that's really new. If I can get my hands on it before anybody else has and do the first custom or try to get like really early on, mm-hmm. That's kind of the most exciting. I don't mean to seem jaded, but you know,
no, I mean, you've been doing a lot.
I get that.
You've been doing it for a long time and you are definitely well known there. So
I'm excited. There's a couple, as you know, the scene, the artist side of the scene is pretty small. Like I know that there's a ton of collectors, mm-hmm. but for the artists, like we sort of all know each other. And as you go to a couple, after you go to a couple conventions, or you're in a couple group shows, and the next thing you know, you're in like a chat on Instagram, and there's 30 artists, and you know, you start to you get a dialogue with them. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So I've done some like Kickstarter like tier, really, you know, so like the heavy metal sloth that Expanded Universe is making, that Groman did. It's like they worked with Groman, but somebody else sculpted it, and I can't remember the guy's name. The thing's like 20 inches tall. It's massive,
yeah.
Right.
And so I can't wait to paint that. But I'm one of the tiers, and somebody, you know, it sold like as soon as it launched, somebody bought it. But it was hand sculpted in clay, and it just got scanned. So I mean, it's going to be a while until anybody has it.
20 inches, and it was hand sculpted.
Yeah. And it's massive. It's gigantic.
I love that hand sculpted stuff. I mean, one of the artists that I followed for a long time before I was really was Jason Freeney.
Yep.
Who he does all that stuff hand sculpt first, you know. Yep. And I don't know. It doesn't look like it's hand sculpted at the end. It looks like it was like created from a machine or something like that. How meticulous it is. But I'm always really impressed with that. Given all the different toys you've worked on, from more on the artist side, I have a question for you on. Do you have a different approach when it comes to resin, vinyl versus soft vinyl, like pure sophobia, like as far as your painting goes?
Not really, though. I mean, resin's awesome because it's hard. It's like a rock, basically. You just got to make sure you don't drop it.
Right. true.
The Western vinyl, so I'm going to just refer to like the Kid Robot.
Yeah, that stuff,
That's pretty much almost the same. Like you don't really have to mess with, you don't have to worry about it. It's pretty stable. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Things stick to it. Soft vinyl, gets a little tricky. Depending on, I hand paint everything and then I use lacquer paints, which are really hard. Mm-hmm. The best way to describe it to people who don't know what lacquer is, it's kind of like nail polish.
Okay.
It dries extremely fast. You have to use horribly smelling thinners for it. most of the application is sprayed on. I do it all by hand, and so with soft vinyl, soft. You know, the idea of it is, you heat it up and you jam two pieces together, and one expands and then the other side. So they actually make vinyl paint that can handle the flexing of the material. So since I'm putting like a hard paint on it, it freaks me out. So like early on, like I used to put my stuff out to dry in the sun to have it dry faster. But then the sun heats the vinyl up and cracks the paint.
Oh, yeah.
And so it does. And there's different types of vinyl too. Japanese vinyl tends to be a little bit harder. The quality is a little bit better. Chinese vinyl can be a little soft. But I've also had people buy something and then like a year later it falls off a shelf and chips. I mean, that would happen though for any,
right?
But
for anything, yeah.
But it always seems to happen on the soft, more on the soft vinyl than it does on the,
well, it's more flexible, right? So the soft vinyl would give more when it hit the ground, depending on the temper variation.
And again, for anybody who doesn't really understand what soft vinyl is, it's like the old toys that, you know, you would, like the antique Asian, like Chinese toys, Japanese toys that you would, like, I remember as like a kid and not really understanding what they were. Mm-hmm. But they don't really weigh anything. They're really thin.
They are.
A piece of Fubi that's the same size as like a 7-inch or 8-inch dunny weighs like 1/4 of the weight.
It doesn't feel what it costs.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's put it that way. Robbie and I work a lot at D-Con, San Diego Comic-Con, and we'll have a lot of Sofubi pieces from Black Seed and those different artists that come in. Mm-hmm. And they're amazing. It's amazing how thin the vinyl is, the detail that they get in these pieces, and the paint they put on them, even from the factory when they're coming in. Is again, it was mm-hmm. There was times, this early on, some of the pieces I have that you just get by being a benefit of being there and being exposed to it. I pick up this or pick up that. I know Robbie's got some of those too. And it's like, and then you turn around like, oh, this was a Black Seek, you know, the Dragon Pagoda thing. And now you go look around and you're like, oh, wow, that's really sought after. Thanks to them to give it to me. Now I understand what I have more. I just bought it because it was cool. Like, oh, that's that's a Godzilla wearing a hamburger. I love it for some reason, you know?
I mean, what's interesting is the way I have a toy that I'm self producing in Japan. I've seen test pulls of it, so I know it's extremely close to being finished.
Nice.
But it's been in the works for almost a year. It's a really slow process.
Yes.
And you're at the whim of the factory, and when I say the factory, it's because I'm going through a middleman. The factory is this abstract thing.
Right.
I see a photo every once in a while of my piece, of my piece. I saw it in wax, and then I saw it like the first test pull, and then they told me there was something wrong with it, even though I was like, looks great, let's go. it's really slow. Like in Japan, so like you buy the mold, you pay the mold.
Mm-hmm.
As the process, and that includes making a wax. So they basically take your toy. I sent them a master. They molded that, made it into wax, and then that gets made.
So you sent them a physical sculpt master.
Yeah.
Rather than working and like getting somebody to make a 3D version of it.
Yeah. And
that's cool.
And so then it gets made into metal, and then they, it's like it's like nickel plated, however they make the mold, I have no idea. But you pay for that.
Oh yeah.
And then after that's done, you then pay for how many pieces you want. And
the mold's an expensive piece, from what I understand. The mold's
It's pretty expensive. And so at that point though, but you can then decide to make 30. Or you can make 50. Mm. Where a lot of the Chinese factories, you buy, 300 toys.
Right.
And that includes all of the molding and everything. And it's faster. It's like 45-day turnarounds.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I've seen that process pretty. I've known that process pretty well. I wasn't familiar with the soft vinyl process or the process you're going through.
Yeah, so even the soft vinyl in China, same, but you have to buy big numbers.
Yeah.
And so so as an artist, like trying to figure out like, one, is my design gonna be worthwhile? Two, do I wanna if I'm painting them, do I wanna paint 300 of them?
Or that's true. Paint
50.
The fans say definitely 300, just so you know.
3,000.
maybe Robbie will actually be able to buy one then.
Well, I ordered the funny thing is my first order was 60. When the factory got back to me and they were like, it's Sofubi, you don't need to have that many. And I was like, no, I have a feeling like I need
I think I'm gonna do it. Yeah,
I have a feeling.
And I'm pretty sure those 60 are gonna go faster than I want them to.
Probably.
And then I don't want to wait 4 months to get 20 more.
So that's crazy. So, I mean, just picking up on what you're saying there, is like you're going to get the mold back and you're hand painting them.
Yeah. So I'm probably
very different.
Yeah. I'm probably going to do, I may do some blanks just for other people who want them like real limited.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I may try to figure out some way of tiering, like maybe doing some paint that's not as crazy as like a heavy paint, as far as like, at a different price point,
mm-hmm.
for, try to figure out some way to do it. But again, I don't like, when you have to paint multiples of something, it eats your soul.
Yeah.
which is how we're going to say, I'm sure we'll segue. And when I do
painting my house.
Yeah. When I do multiples of something, I always do different colors. Right. I always do one-offs. And I started with the first set of customs that I did of Sofubi in 2018, I think. It was Kruki by Toy Boom, Korean artist.
Okay.
I got one here. It's like this like weird demon looking guy with belly. And he sent me 10 of them. And it was the first time that this was like, I'd never done anything like this. So he sent me 10 and I was like, what do I, you know, and I was like, man, can I do like 3 sets of 3? Or I don't know if I can do 10 all the same.
All the same thing, yeah.
And I ended up doing 10 different ones. Hmm. And I found that was easier for me, like the sanity.
Just to do something different, yeah.
Of doing that. Where like I had the Quicks release this summer. And I did 20 APs for it.
Okay.
And I did them all the same, and those 20 APs took me 30 days to do.
So you hand painted the 20 APs to give to them.
Yeah. So I took the
wow
the production paint and then added rust, like added extra rust to it.
Gotcha.
But I couldn't. It was such a mental thing to get over. Of like trying to
make the donuts every day, you know.
Yeah, that's what it was. And then I finally ended up taking them all apart and just doing like all the arms, and then I did all the like that was because I was trying to do like paint one and then I'd finish it and start the next one.
Oh yeah, no.
We got to the point where I was doing like less than one a day. Oh. I normally paint like 4 to 6 hours a day, So for the APs, like that like almost killed me.
And are you doing all this while having a day job, or a job, or doing this?
Yeah, I mean it was COVID though.
Gotcha.
Well, I technically still have a day job, but the amount of I basically paint full time, plus I'm supposed to work full time.
Right. No, I definitely understand. Now, the question about the hand painting them, is this, I mean, I've heard this from other artists that are used to doing the painting and they go from the customizer world into making a toy and somebody makes a toy for them. But then it gets out of your hands. You don't get to touch them. You don't get to be a part of it. It's like, oh, they put the paint on it and then it goes out in these boxes and everything. And that's sad. You know, like my wife says that, like making a vinyl and getting painted and just shipping out colorways, like kind of makes her sad because she wants to be part of the process. And once it's like, then it's nothing, you're not involved anymore. And so that bringing them back and kind of creating those smaller runs and the particular piece you're doing and pan painting them gives you more of that, what you love to do.
Yeah, that's definitely a hard, you know, trying to figure out how to make a production paint look like, you know, you don't want it to look too much like a hand painted because then it just cuts the mark, you know, like if a factory can do what I'm doing, it's going to put me out of business. But at the same time, I don't want to paint 400 of them.
No, you don't want to do 400, no.
So,
can you imagine if we had to paint every one of those Quicks pieces that went out at the end of the day? No.
Yeah, no. Well, that's what was scary is I did a lottery for the APs, and I only did it for 24 hours. I had 20 pieces. I had 250 people enter.
That's lower than I thought. If you would have asked me to guess, I would say that's lower than I thought would
have. Well, in 24 hours, though.
I still.
I cut it in 24 hours.
Yeah, that's fair.
And those were all people committed to buy you know, basically at $200. And I was like adding the math. I was putting the math together. And I was like, well, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait, if I had that many, I don't think I could paint. Like, I think that would like kill, like literally I'd be like dead, you know, dead in a ravine somewhere.
Smelling like thinner.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's a hard balance to try to figure out, you know, how much you want to do. And, that's sort of like the APs, finding like the right balance, like, you know, doing 20 was good. At least with my sculpt, I wanted something that I knew that I could, like, I would be happy painting, mm-hmm. painting them and not be, you know, not go crazy doing it.
So when do you think we'll see? I mean, that was going to be one of my questions that you kind of answered in advance of whether you're going to start doing your own thing now.
Yeah, I have. I mean, this has been a while in the works. And then I have some other sculpts that I've modified, and I touched on them in the other podcasts. Mm-hmm. I did a dissected CanBot for CZ and Clutter.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever that comes out, that, I mean, that's kind of like, I'm really excited for that. Like, it's, you know, my name's on the bottom of it. So
that's cool. That's a cool format. I do like the CanBot. Every time I turn around, there's another
piece. And then there's a Quicks, Tech 63 that we changed. And, so that's a new
sculpt. Oh, a new sculpt like there.
Yeah, it's like C-3PO. It was the Star Wars show. I did like a C-3PO and R2-D2.
Okay.
And so it's called a Tech 3PO.
Tech 3PO. Hmm. Perfect.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And which is pretty funny because I wanted, like, you know, the Tech 63, the stance that he has with his arms in the pocket, and he's sort of leaning back, and it's, you know, if it, he kind of looks tough.
Mm-hmm.
And then C-3PO is like the nerdiest.
of all the droids, yes, he's definitely the nerdiest droid. I know. Yeah.
So, all the Star Wars characters.
Yeah. So it's kind of, and that was kind of the idea, is that I wanted to like juxtapose, like, you know, the cool Quicks character and the most like wimpy Star Wars droid ever. So, it's really cool knowing that those things are coming out.
That's fun. And they've been doing it. They've been killing it over there, Quicks and that team.
Yeah.
So many things. It's just blown up. It's, you know, for a while there, I was trying to keep up, but then I did the math and I was like, wait a minute, this is every Tuesday.
Yeah.
They have things released and you got to start becoming more of a, more picky on, everything that they're doing. And I actually am fascinated. I'm drawn to more as the one-offs, like the work you're doing with SmyCon,
right?
SmyWorld, and the stuff that I've seen with just a lot of different shows, like the custom shows and stuff. Like we just had a Big C on a couple weeks ago. Right. He was on our show talking about his show, and you had a piece in there as well. And again, talk about a different format and what you did to that. And that's a really cool piece, the way it turned out.
And as of the before we went on live, it's still available.
Really?
So go over to Big C's website and you can buy it.
Oh.
That was, I met Colin, 2018, at Five Points. We both customized a couple King Corpses.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had some and I had some, and we started talking and became friends. But again, you know, it's, and last decon, he like kind of went around asking everybody, like, you know, hey, I'm going to do a show a year away. And I almost agreed almost every show that people asked me to be in,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of how, you know, my career painting toys kind of took off. Like I did the, you know, customs and monthly shows just bouncing around from gallery mm-hmm. to gallery. And, So it's always nice to, you know, it's a little bit of a challenge when you get a toy and you have like a certain platform and then you have to do something, or maybe there's a certain theme that you're working on. And, so it was nice to work on the Baby Fats. You know, trying to make it like, I have certain colors that I always use, or like, you know, depending on like at the time. And, I was painting, like I painted that when I was doing my solo show for Moyo. And so that got painted the same colors as I think three other pieces.
Okay. That makes sense though. But I think it does make sense. I mean, if you're an artist, especially if you're starting out, like take the opportunities you can. It's all about exposure, time on task, and getting out there.
Yeah.
And so it never hurts to just say, you know, because you never know. You know, like you said, you always accept everyone you're in. I mean, one, it's your art at the end of the day anyway, so you get to do what you want. And two, you never know what opportunities come up by being there, just being there.
Right.
So I think that's a great point. I mean, to that end, you also have a piece in the upcoming Sauce Drops Toys, Black Panther. Sauce Drops. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
He was on the show last week. So it's like, it's all, you know, he was showing off all the pieces. We were talking about your piece last week on the show.
Yeah.
It's sort of Quicks with the skull head.
Yeah. So that was a piece last summer. I was trying to figure out a way to adapt. It was the Martian Toys had the Yukiuk or Yuki. It was like kind of like a wolf.
Okay. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
And I bought like 30 of them, 30 blanks or something like that. So I changed the head. So I casted some resin skull heads and I did two releases of 10. Or I did like, I think I did 10 as a release in the summer, and then for the decon the following year, I maybe did like 8 more or something like that.
Okay.
And so I had some kicking around, and it was an interesting, you know, for the Sauce Drop, I wanted to like not necessarily be political. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like I wanted to be overly political and then trying to find like the right, toy. Like I have hundreds of toys kicking around. Right. So it's like if something's going into a show, I always want to get something that like one, it's going to sell. This is for charity. So I was like, oh, I definitely want something that, you know, so I was like, oh, well, a Quicks is a guarantee. And then I was like, man, I don't know how, like, I don't know if I just, because it's a Black Panther theme show. And I was like, just figuring like what to do. And then sitting on my bench, there was one of these old toys. So, but I was really, it turned out great. Like it was like overly simplified, with the paint, that I did on it. But, yeah, I was really happy with it.
And no, it looks really cool. The scale of the skull that you have there and everything fits really well.
Yep.
I think it's going to be, it's exciting. All right, so I know we're running a little bit long here, but I want to talk about the SmyCon now. And I have your pieces. Robbie has pictures of them, so I want to show everybody here what's going to be available tomorrow night at 9. Did you say it was 8 or 9, Robbie? I should get these down. I
know Jonathan's 8 p.m. here.
8 p.m. Eastern time is when it all goes live.
Jonathan is in here, so you can confirm that.
Yeah, that's fine. Here you go. So these are the bottles you did.
Yep.
The chomps, I should say. So I can see that colorway that you showed on the, that was, yeah. So all different colorways. They're all the same.
Yeah. There's eight available. That's sort of the thing. Like I just get going and, originally, like when I started those, I wanted, the first thing I wanted to do was like a camouflage one. Mm-hmm. And then, so I started the camouflage one and then I did like the green one. I was like, oh, it'd be kind of cool. Like it was like a jungle, you know, like the brighter, the brighter color.
Mm-hmm.
And then I fell back on like some of like my like normal colors that I like to use, and then obviously white right. works really well. The Japanese symbol on the big symbol is actually it stands for ice.
That makes sense.
And the pink one, that's my name, Clav.
Okay.
Japanese. And so they, what's not pictured is they all have the Japanese going down the one of the arms.
As oh, well. Okay.
So, I used to taking photos. I used to take like 8 angles for each piece, but then when you're doing 8 pieces, I would, that's, you know,
64
photos. It's a yeah. lot of pictures. Yeah.
It gets a little tang. It gets a little hairy. So, a lot of times now I only do like two photos. It was actually a lot of fun to work on those. It's a good scale. It was funny. It's like I have an 11-year-old daughter, and like they when they arrived, she was instantly like drawn to them. She's like, "You're cool, Dad." Yeah.
I do think that there's with Chomp and a lot of other toys that are coming out nowadays, there's definitely a softer side where she probably wouldn't have been as drawn to the Godzilla with the skull on top of it.
But yeah.
Chomp, yeah.
Right. Or she complains that I ruined the nice toys.
Are you going to ruin this one? Yeah, I heard that in the other podcast. Like your daughter's like, oh, you're going to ruin that one, aren't you? Yeah. That's funny.
It's fun. You know, it's good working on stuff. It's fun working on something like this. And Jonathan sent them to me in like August, and I had them kicking around for a while, and I didn't really know what I was going to do to them. But then I paint like I you know basically I think I did them all in like 3 days.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
That's pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
My computer's gonna die. I'm gonna plug it in.
No, we're almost done. We timed it perfectly. So we gotta be respectful of your time. We could talk all day. So hopefully sometime now that we've met you, albeit virtually, at the next con, we can hang out and get to kind of shoot the shit over the art and everything that's going on. It'd be awesome.
Hopefully we get to go to a convention.
That'd be fantastic. I'd love to again. I know we need it, but those are gonna be tomorrow's MyCon 2020. It starts at 8 p.m. on Sunday Eastern time, so set your clocks accordingly. So you got there's a lot of stuff there. Obviously the Clav pieces are going to be mystery box style, so they're going to go up all at once. So you buy one and you're going to get, but they're all fantastic. So try your luck there. You have to go quick, but there's a lot of other pieces dropping at the same time. There's a bunch of I say Robbie some more pictures of some. Rombits has a lot of pieces there from his group, a lot of tech pieces. And there's going to be, well, our own, Christina, the Dahlia is dropping there. So there's 10 pieces of the her first resin run of actually at a retailer is going to be live there as well. So go for it. Yeah, here. Actually, here's a bunch of stuff that's going to be at this MyCon stuff. So yeah, there's Christina. There's the Dahlia that's going to be dropping.
Sort 10 of them.
10 of those. And then that's her tech. Yep. But anyway, there's going to be a ton of stuff there. Go check them out tomorrow at SmileWorld. SmileWorld.com. And good luck. There's a good bunch of there's a bunch of people in the chat that don't really want me to advertise the 10 of things that they're all trying to buy. That's right.
Yeah.
Don't tell people that they're there. Don't talk about the chomps. Don't talk about the dolly heads. We don't need.
Oh, we forgot to mention they're all sold out. Sorry, everybody. Yeah. Don't even go. It's all sold out.
Bots, man.
No, Jonathan. He's got a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff
going. A lot on. Of stuff, and this is just the tip of the iceberg.
There's a
ton of Rombits pieces he sent me today. They look fantastic.
Yeah.
The RJ Chomp that's going to be there. There you go. There's the Kylo. There you go. Seth is the Kylo.
Mm-hmm.
What else we got here? There you go. That's his Tech 63. Megatech, even. Yeah, a lot of stuff. I mean, a lot of amazing, cool things. So go check that out. Get yourself a chomp. And it's one of those things that's sort of like a con. You're going to have to pick where you go first right away.
Yep.
It's kind of one of those types of drops. I think a lot of these is a fantastic show. Jonathan pulled together a lot of cool stuff. So I'll definitely be there as well, trying to pick up some things. Joker Christina, that we're going to have to sell Dahlias just so I could buy everything else there that I can.
That's normally what happens at cons.
totally.
You need to put quotes, air quotes around joke.
Yeah.
It's not a joke. It's true. It's absolutely 100% true. It's just a matter of if I'm allowed to buy it, if they don't sell out on me, because that happens often too. Sometimes it's a blessing and a curse when things go fast. It's like, Yep. Well, hey, Clav, thanks a lot for joining us. You know, clearly you have 40 things you need to be painting right now.
Yeah.
So it really means a lot that you took.
He was painting the whole time, I noticed. Well done.
No. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I'd have been impressed. Like, wow, this guy's amazing. Multitask.
The problem is I would have lost track of what we were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. And then I painted right here, and you see this, and then oh wait, what? Yeah.
So anyway, really appreciate it. Time's hard. It's funny. You know, we have all the time in the world now, staying home all the time, but it's still a premium. So really appreciate it, and I look forward to everything you're working on. Really looking forward to your toy you're making. So that's exciting to hear about.
Hopefully, I mean it's already November basically. So
yep, that's true.
I'm assuming maybe January, you know, it was supposed to be the first test ball I saw in July.
Okay.
So, soon, it should be soon.
Well, that's going to be exciting, to see, cause it's always nice to, it'll be nice to see what you want to put out there and then what you put on it. And so the format you put on it. So it's fantastic.